Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the Old Testament prophecy of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. You'll find Habakkuk near the end of the Old Testament. And we're turning to Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 1 down to the end of the verse number 8. And I would certainly encourage you in your own home to look up the Word of God and read along with us. And I pray that God's Word will be a blessing to your heart this evening. Habakkuk chapter 3, and beginning a reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Siganoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow, his ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses, and thy chariots of salvation. We'll end our reading there at verse 8. Our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, the verse I want us to look at this evening as our text is verse 2 there of Habakkuk chapter 3. I'd read that verse with you again. It says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Now, the prophet Habakkuk was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. The ministry of both these men was to overlap. And like Jeremiah, Habakkuk also told of judgment that would befall the Jewish nation by the Chaldeans. This judgment was to mean 70 years of captivity in the land of Babylon. Habakkuk also tells of the overthrow of the Chaldeans by the Medes and the Persians. Habakkuk was a man who proclaimed God's word to the people of his day. You see that from the title that is given to him in verse 1 of the chapter, where he is referred to as Habakkuk the prophet. He was the one who proclaimed and told out the word of God. He was a man who listened to the voice of God with reverence and with godly fear. You see that from verse 2 of the chapter where he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. He was a man who set great store and respect to the word of God. Habakkuk also himself was a man of prayer, as were all the Old Testament prophets. If you look at verse 1 of the chapter 3 there, it begins with the words, a prayer of Habakkuk. And this prayer was prompted by a concern for the Lord's people. Yes, the day of Habakkuk was dark. God was chastening his ancient people because of their sin. Yet at such a time, the prophet Habakkuk does not neglect the place of prayer. Indeed, he prays in verse 2 of this chapter, our text, and he says, O Lord, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, make known, in the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. Now, the background to this verse has some very important lessons for God's people. Yes, like Habakkuk of old, God's people are those that should make known the word of God. Also, like Habakkuk of old, they should be those who obey the word of God. And also, like Habakkuk of old, they should be a people of prayer. No matter how dark the day may be, God's people should give themselves to prayer. Yes, they should pray for divine intervention on behalf of the Church of Christ, indeed on behalf of their land and nation. It is for this particular reason that I want us then to look at this prayer of Habakkuk. There are three things that I want you to notice with me from the verse. First of all, notice the blessing which Habakkuk sought. Habakkuk longed for the reviving and the blessing of God's work. He prays, O Lord, revive thy work. You'll see there that Habakkuk was not concerned about his own work. Rather, he was concerned about the work of the Lord. And when he talks here about God's work, he's speaking about God's people. He's speaking about the church of the Lord in the Old Testament time in which he lived. His desire was that God would preserve his church, that he would quicken his church, that he would invigorate his church and endow his church in the ways of God. This longing of Habakkuk should also be the burden of all God's people. Yes, dear believer in Christ, like Habakkuk, your burden should also be for the reviving and for the quickening of God's people in the ways of God and in the things of God. Indeed, this was the desire of the psalmist. In Psalm 85, in the verse 6, he prayed, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Indeed, this was the yearning of the hymn writer, for they said, Revive thy work, O Lord, and disturb the sleep of death. They wanted to know and see God's reviving power in his church in their day. Child of God, this should be your burden. This should be my burden. Let me say, child of God, that if you've lost this burden, then pray that God would give you such a burden again in your heart and soul for the reviving power of his church and of his people. You will see also here that Habakkuk prayed that God would make himself known. In verse 2, he prays, in the midst of the years, make known. And Habakkuk desired that God would do something that would make his name to be exalted, that would make his name to be known among the people. You see, in times of spiritual declension, God withdraws himself. In other words, his power, his presence, and blessing are not manifest as they once were. The prophet Isaiah highlights this solemn fact in Isaiah 45 and verse 15 when he speaks to the Lord and says, Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. And Habakkuk's aspiration was that the Lord would demonstrate and show his power and his blessing in a new way, even as he had done in former times and times of old. Child of God, this should be your longing as well tonight. Yes, in the day which we live, the demonstration of God's power and blessing has in a measure been withdrawn from our land and from our nation. Our nation does not enjoy and know God's favor and blessing as it once knew. We need to see a return of God's blessing as in former times. Therefore, our burden should be for the making bare of God's almighty arm of blessing once again. This was indeed the desire of Isaiah the prophet. For in Isaiah chapter 51 and the verse 9, he says, Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in ancient days, in the generations of old. Again in Isaiah 52 and the verse 10, he says, The Lord have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In those verses you'll see reference made to the arm of the Lord. And that speaks of the Lord's power. That speaks of the Lord's blessing. And that was the desire of the prophet Isaiah. Indeed, that was the desire here of the prophet Habakkuk in her verse. But also we can say further that Habakkuk longed that God would do something also for the comfort of his people. You see, in verse 2 there he prays, "In wrath, remember mercy." You'll see there that Habakkuk did not plead the merit of God's people, for they had nothing of themselves to plead before God, but rather he longed that God would show his mercy to his people. And the greatest comfort for the Lord's people to enjoy is indeed the mercy of the Lord. In Psalm 85, in the verse 7, the psalmist says, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord." Believer, as you think of the Lord's church today, as you think of our land and of our nation today, may your chief desire be that our land, our nation, indeed the church of Christ today, would know a fresh touch of the mercy of God. Pray like the psalmist, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord." And pray like the prophet Habakkuk when he said, "In wrath, remember mercy." Yes, we see the blessings that Habakkuk the prophet desired. But notice secondly this evening, notice the season when Habakkuk sought God's blessing. You will notice there that twice over in verse 2 that Habakkuk mentions the midst of the years. He says, "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." Now, in the context of Habakkuk's ministry, the midst of the years here refers specifically to Israel's captivity whenever they were down in Babylon. This was a time of bondage in a heathen land. It was a time of darkness, a time of persecution, a time of fear. But at this time, Habakkuk's burden was realized through the power of God. Daniel chapter 3 verse 25 tells of that time when the Lord made himself known. In his deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25 we read there of King Nebuchadnezzar looking into the fiery furnace where the three Hebrew children were cast. And he says, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Their God made his power and arm of blessing known and demonstrated in a mighty way." And the result of this intervention of the Lord, well, it was indeed that Nebuchadnezzar, that ungodly king, and indeed the people under his dominion, were made to acknowledge the Lord God of heaven. Listen to what it said in Daniel chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And there you see that the Lord's name was exalted and made known in a mighty way. Child of God, this present day in our land may be difficult, especially whenever we think of the coronavirus and its effects. This is also a day of spiritual declension and falling away from the things of God. But please remember that even though the day is dark and difficult, God can still work and God can still revive his church. Think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 112 and verse 4. There he says, "Unto the upright there, arise of light in darkness." Think again of the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 138 and the verse 7. When he says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Again, think of the words of Psalm 119, verse 126. There the psalmist says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Those verses all speak of God working and moving in a time of darkness, a time of declension, a time of falling away. Child of God, do not yield. Do not give in to the devil's voice of unbelief. Yes, in this dark day in which we live, the Lord is able to revive his church, because the Lord is one who has not changed. Think of the question that is asked in Genesis 18 and the verse 14. The question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that question is no. Luke chapter 1 and the verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Again, think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes his letter to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 20, there the word of God says, now unto him, that's the Lord, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Believer, tonight, have faith in God. Trust in the Lord for revival. For God has a set time to favor his church. And that time is whenever his children are greatly burdened for the well-being of his work and the well-being of his church and cause. Think of what is said over in Psalm 102 and verses 13 and 14. There the psalmist says to the Lord, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. There you read of God's set time of blessing when his people are burdened for the well-being of his work, his cause, and his kingdom. Notice one final thought just here in connection with our text this evening. Notice the means by which Habakkuk sought God's blessing. What was that means? That means was simply one of prayer. You look again at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. You see, Habakkuk was a man who realized in his heart that God alone is the author of revival. Thus he prays. He asks God and prays that God would revive his work in the midst of the years. Child of God, please remember this, that God's ordained pathway to revival, it is still one of prayer. The Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. Yes, revival is a sovereign act of God. But God is one who revives his work, his church, in answer to the prayers of his own redeemed people. You think of the 1859 revival in the province of Ulster. That time of great blessing and great awakening, it was preceded by a group of believers earnestly praying for revival in a schoolhouse in Kells, County Antrim. There was prayer before the time of blessing. You think of God's great promise to his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. There God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There you see that the healing of the land in the time of blessing is all in association with God's people humbling themselves, turning from their sin and seeking the Lord and calling upon the Lord for blessing. Believer in Christ, you think of the day of Pentecost. The early New Testament church, when God poured out His Spirit in a mighty way upon His people, upon His cause, that time was preceded by the prayers of God's people. In Acts 1, verse 14, it speaks of the early New Testament church, and it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication before the outpouring of the Spirit of God and Pentecostal power." Was the earnest seeking and pleading with God in the place of prayer and at the throne of grace. You think also of the words of Ezra the scribe. In Ezra chapter 9 and the verse 8, he says, "Give us a little reviving in our bondage." And such words were a prayer for revival. The day of Ezra the scribe. Child of God, follow the example here of this man Habakkuk. And earnestly pray for revival. Set aside time each day to seek God and to earnestly pray for revival. Earnestly seek God for this blessing. You'll notice there how twice over in this verse 2 that the prophet Habakkuk, he uses the expression, "O Lord," and that speaks of his earnestness in prayer. He says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy." Here was a man deeply and earnest in prayer before God for blessing. James 5, verse 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That speaks of blessing in response to the earnest prayers of God's people. Dear child of God, you think of the greatest example of all, the example of Christ. And you read of Christ in prayer in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and the verse 44. What does it say there about Christ? It says, "In being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." Christ, your Savior, was one who earnestly sought his Father's face. Child of God, earnestly seek God for revival. Pray to God earnestly for revival in these days in which we live. The hymn writer says, "O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. And fit thy church to meet this hour." No doubt whenever the hymn writer penned those words, there was an earnest longing in his heart for the reviving power of God. Child of God, in these days in which we live, earnestly pray, earnestly plead with God for revival, for the outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." If there's one listening in this evening and you're still unsaved, let me say this, that the way for you to know the blessing of God's salvation in your life as you earnestly seeking God, you earnestly calling upon the Lord and asking Him to save you, confessing your sins to Him. In Psalm 34, in the verses 6 and 8, the psalmist says, "This poor man cried." That speaks of earnestness. "And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Then he goes on and he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." He earnestly sought the Lord for salvation. And the Lord heard his call and heard his cry. Dear unsaved friend, this night I would encourage you to do the same. This night, call upon the Lord wherever you are. Lift up your heart in prayer to God. Cry to God like the publican, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Ask the Lord to cleanse you from all sin through the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Ask the Lord to save your soul. The Lord will hear that cry. The Lord will save your soul. He'll forgive your sins. He'll bless you in life. Then you'll be on praying ground with God. You'll be in pleading terms with God. And then one day you'll be able to enter into heaven, into glory itself. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, seek the Lord for salvation. And dear believer, earnestly seek the Lord day by day for His reviving power and His reviving grace. Thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless the preaching of His word even tonight to all our hearts, as the Lord Himself would see our individual needs.